This is The Spotlight, where we profile Namibia's biggest movers and shakers, brought to you by Namdeb, mining for good.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our spotlight this evening, I'm joined by Nangula Gaingos, the former first daughter of Namibia. Nangula, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Nangula, can you share a bit about your upbringing?
So my upbringing was probably different in that it was during exile. So I grew up outside of Namibia, in Zambia. And it was, of course, during our struggle for independence. So it was a very pan-African experience. Because as you may know, Zambia was hosting multiple liberation movements in their country. So it was SWAPO fighters, it was ANC fighters, it was ZANU-PF fighters.
Wow.
All of us living in Zambia. But we were not treated as refugees. The Zambian people embraced us, and we were brothers and sisters together. And so my upbringing was beautiful. My childhood was rich and a proper cultural experience. But like I said, growing up alongside a very diverse African peoples, which is probably where the first seeds of Pan-Africanism were sown in me. As far as growing up with a president, I only knew that when he became one in 2015. So for the majority of my life, he was just my dad. But make no mistakes, he was always the leader.
Mm.
He was always the director of the Institute for Namibia. He was always Namibia's prime minister. Then he was minister of trade. And then, of course, prime minister and then president again. So, yes, he's always been the leader. But before any of that, before any of those titles, he was just my dad. Very present, very strict, comical, but principled. So we knew that we also had to follow suit.
How has your family shaped your values and outlook on leadership and service?
It's everything. My mother and father, both of them, both are in heaven now, but both dedicated their lives to serving others, serving the people of Namibia, developing our country, oftentimes not putting themselves first, oftentimes understanding that people are coming to take from you, and still having that sense of wisdom, that sense of care for others, that they, I know you're here to take from me. And I also know that it might not be for a long time, because some of you only have political interests. You're only here for your opportunities. And yet and still, they would always give of themselves, give of their time, their knowledge, their wisdom, their resources, their home. We opened up our house. I can't count how many people actually lived with us for periods of time while they were going to other countries, being assigned different places, looking for shelter, for protection. They came through our home. So it was always an environment of taking care of your brother and sister. And oftentimes that went across party lines, and definitely ethnic lines. So for me growing up, I didn't know really the difference between this is a Ojerero speaking person or a Kwekwegawab speaking person. I thought we were all Namibians. And those type of principles still remain with me.
Yeah, and I always say we've all got red blood.
Absolutely.
So especially when your father became president, was there a lot of pressure, you know, to fit a particular image or expectation because of your family background?
Well, I'll be really honest with you, Angie. That pressure has always lived with us. We've always known it. It's much like a preacher's kid, like a PK. You can't be caught smoking because your father is the preacher. So it was similar to that. You know, we had those similar type of pressures, but that was pretty much our whole life. Not just when he became president. As a matter of fact, when he became president, he relaxed a bit more. And so therefore, we also relaxed a bit more. So, yeah. And plus, we had our skin in the game by then. We do it.
Yeah. Maybe you could also tell us about your academic journey. What did you study and what inspired those choices?
Sure. I majored in economics, development economics, because probably of my upbringing, whereby I thought I will always go back. I studied in the States, but I knew I would always return to Namibia and improving the economies of Africa was a passion of mine, addressing poverty, inequalities, things of that nature. So yes, I majored in economics and then got a master's degree in international economics. So it was always in that area of focus. I thought I was going to work for the United Nations, but instead took different turns in life.
Beauty and brains.
Oh, thank you.
So maybe you could tell us a bit about your current professional journey. Tell us, what are you currently busy with?
So I had to leave. My last position was with the Ministry of Industrialization and Trade, and I had to leave it. I was a trade working under basically donor fund management from the European Union. When that contract ended, I had to go 100% private. So my areas of business interest include mining, commercial fishing, renewable energy, which we're very proud of.
Yeah.
And then building off of that, I got into green hydrogen. So, yes.
Do you see yourself stepping into any future public service roles?
Oh, if I could get maybe just a Namibian dollar for every time I get that question. I'd be so rich. You know what? I'll never say never. I'm never going to say never. It's just that, you know, as my experience has been difficult to kind of reconcile with my kind of nature, what I mean by that is like, I'm not as polished, which is what I think you kind of need to strengthen as a politician. It would be difficult for me because I would wear my heart on my sleeve. I wouldn't want to go through certain bureaucratic processes. I would just want to say, look, here's the problem. Let's fix it. I don't know why we have to delay and consult and review. I probably would clash a lot with traditional politicians and bureaucrats and public servants. I think I probably did already. But to be honest, I think there might be a season of change. There might be some things changing in the way we do government, the way we do politics and public service, that maybe there could be a space for a person like me. So that's why I never say never. And especially if the environment is such that I'm allowed to be me. I'm allowed to be the kind of person that doesn't want to send emails through the chain of command. I just want to send the one email that gets the job done. If there could be that kind of space for me, then sure, why not? Because my passion for Namibian people and my sense of patriotism means that if I was called upon, I would probably answer yes.
Nangula, how do you maintain balance between your private life and public perception?
Yeah, you know, people really don't know me.
Yeah.
I'm often misjudged. You know, sometimes, especially in Namibia, perception does really become reality. And all I can say to that is that you would have to really get to know me. Just get to know me, and then you might be surprised. I love people. If you encountered me, I think your perception of me would change.
And what do you think people often misunderstand about you?
Oh, that, first of all, I'm rich. I wish I were as rich as people think I am. So like, yeah, Dad was that type of politician who basically let us know. I mean, it was drummed into our head. Stay away from tenders, stay away from a lot of government business. But it's not really easy to do in Namibia. Government will almost ultimately always be your biggest client in some way, shape, or form. But yeah, so for us, he really cared about that because he had the wisdom to know that in Namibia, perception would be reality. And he never wanted that to in any way interfere with his leadership. And he didn't want any of his children to be associated with that type of corruption and et cetera, et cetera. So his command, not even suggestion, his command was to stay away from tenders. And we, of course, tried our best to always honor, because for me, honoring my parents is paramount. So yes, I would try to honor him in that way. But in the end, you have to do business. So yeah. I guess the perception is that business is easy for me, which is not true, because any woman in business will tell you it's not easy. It's not easy even for men in business. You have to have the grit. You have to have the persistence. You have to be ready to be told no 100 times before you get that one yes. Our market is small. There are just so many reasons why business is not as easy as you would think. It didn't come to me easily, and it's still not coming to me easily, but I'm here. And I'm finally okay with saying that I'm pursuing this opportunity as any other Namibian. I have the right to do it. And I can sleep at night because I know that as I pursue these business opportunities, I still have a social entrepreneur inside of me that will always want to find a way to make sure that my solutions are going to benefit a community, empower women, empower men, raise communities up. So yeah, that's pretty much the kind of business that excites me.
How would you like to be remembered, not just as the former first daughter, but as Nangula Gayngos?
Someone who tried to make a difference. Someone who loved her country. Someone who loved her continent. Someone who loved God and his people.
Just a last question, Nangula. Looking ahead, what's next for you in terms of personal and professional goals?
Oh, gosh. Well, personally, I'm so glad you said I don't look my age. I know we've all gone to school. We've been educated on the right nutrition and the right amount of sleep and water to drink. And I think I've really fallen off. And so, you know, when you don't take care of your health, it begins to tell on you. And the beautiful thing about the human body is that if you just improved your health by about 20%, like if I could just get a bottle of water down a day, I think my body would respond much more than what I would be putting into it. And I just think that I'm going to take my health more seriously from a personal standpoint. I'm older now. I feel it in my knees. It's not about longevity for longevity's sake. It's about quality of life. I want to make sure I'm working towards having a proper quality of life.
Yeah.
And that might be in every area. I want it just to be quality friends, quality relationships, a quality spiritual journey, taking better care of my health, because of course your health is your wealth. These type of things are important to me personally. And then also really just being present in the moment. I think so many times we get distracted with a lot of nonsense. And then you look back and you realize I wasted that time. I probably should have been more intentional with my friends and the time I'm spending with family, like I mentioned before.
Yeah.
Now more than ever, family time is important to me. Pouring into my children, having fun with my children. I can't just always be the one that tells them, you can't do this and you can't go there. I want us to also have fun times together. So that's from a personal standpoint. And then from professional, continue to do business in Namibia. Continue to do business across the region, because of course we understand that we are the regional players right now. The world is really looking at Namibia. And so we need the men and women of this nation to say that we're taking our place and our rightful place at that. So very excited about green hydrogen, as you know. It's beautiful to see Daddy's vision actually taking form and having tangibles that we can actually point to in the green hydrogen space, and that James Mupe would mention our startup, not realizing that we were in the deserts of Kunene. And it's been a long journey for us. So for us to finally feel we're at the brink of something magical happening using science and technology. I wasn't into science and technology in school, but now I realize that that is what changes the world. Innovation, technology, and finding solutions that we always had in our backyard and we didn't even realize it. It's just the game changer, and I'm so happy to be a part of it, and I will continue to pursue it to the fullest.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
It was lovely having you.
Thank you so much.
That was The Spotlight, where we profile Namibia's biggest movers and shakers, brought to you by NAMDEB, Mining for Good.